Good morning, church. It's a privilege to be speaking with us again this morning and to be sharing with us from the Word of God. This morning, we're starting a new series titled The Leading of the Spirit. But don't forget, it's within the larger theme of faith in action. And really, it's about us looking at certain aspects of the Word of God and embracing this truth to put them into practice in our lives. But today we will start a series, The Leading of the Spirit. Our text for today is from the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll be reading four verses. Verses 14 to 17, Romans chapter 8. And basically, this morning, what we'll do is to just look at this subject or this issue of the leading of the Spirit from Scripture, and then as we go along in the series, we look at the ways the Holy Spirit leads us and how we can walk in the leading of the Spirit, or how we can recognize the leading of the Spirit. Romans 8 from verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Let us pray. Father, we bless you and give you glory. We magnify you for who you are and for all that you mean to us. This morning, we approach your word with humility and meekness. We trust in the power of your Spirit to illuminate our hearts and to make these words relevant to us. And so, mighty God, I pray that your people would not simply hear the voice of a man, but Lord, they will hear the voice of your Spirit calling in their hearts, and that these things be made plain to their hearts, and that as we obey your word and put these things in practice, we'll have a rich experience. The experience that you have called us to live in this new life in Christ Jesus. We give you thanks and we bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We took our text from Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8 is a powerful chapter of the Bible. This is the chapter of this epistle to the Romans that introduces us to the immense power of the Holy Spirit and how vital the power of the Holy Spirit is to living the Christian life. The whole chapter itself is an upward ascent. From the lows of the experience narrated in most of Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 8, in fact, presents a clear and sharp contrast from the life of a weak struggle against sin that we see in Romans chapter 7 to a joyful experience of a victorious life made possible through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. While Romans chapter 7 recounts a grim and sad experience, and is really the experience of a life lived without the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8, on the other hand, shows us the glory of a life that is lived in the enablement of the Holy Spirit. I remember mentioning during one of our midweek Bible study sessions some months back that if you study Romans chapter 8 carefully, the Holy Spirit is mentioned only one other time in this epistle before now. And that's in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, where it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, but the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." But then you come to Romans chapter 8, and the Holy Spirit is referred to nearly 20 times. Now you see, this message is not an in-depth or exhaustive study of Romans chapter 8. So for now, I will skip and we will not press into any of these amazing spiritual realities that are revealed to us in other verses of Romans chapter 8. We will just stick to our text. And in fact, in the text, we will really mainly focus on one verse that is critical for us to gain an understanding of the topic of the leading of the Spirit. And that's Romans 8 and verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Romans 8, 14. This verse of scripture has been such a blessing to many hearts since they were inspired by the Holy Spirit centuries ago. And they continue to shed a great light of illumination to us even till now. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." That verse of scripture is a simple sentence, but it confirms to us that divine guidance by the Spirit of God is an experienced reality for believers in Christ Jesus. I'll say that again. It's a simple verse of scripture, Romans 8:14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God." But it confirms to us that divine guidance by the Spirit is an experienced reality of believers in Christ Jesus. The leading of the Spirit, as we will notice from this text, is not reserved to only a special breed or an exalted class of believers alone. The leading of the Spirit is common to every believer. You see, this is why I would have loved us to be gathered together. If this was one of our services where we're gathered together, you can be sure at this point I would have said, turn to your neighbor and say to your neighbor, "The leading of the Spirit is common to every believer." Well, if you're gathered in your house and your wife is there or your husband is there, turn to your wife or your husband or to your friend or to your sister or your brother and say to him or her, "The leading of the Spirit is common to every believer." The leading of the Spirit is not reserved for only pastors, church leaders, apostles, and prophets. No. See, I know that many people, or some people, teach otherwise. They believe that the leading of the Spirit is only for mature believers. They would usually say that there's a difference between children of God and sons of God. And they will draw the basis or their basis for this teaching by comparing our passage, Romans 8 and verse 14, with other passages like John chapter 1 and verse 12. Remember John chapter 1 and verse 12? This was a verse of scripture that Pastor Ayo went back to again and again as he spoke to us on the power to walk within the believer. John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And so they explain that the term sons of God in John chapter 1 and verse 12 is the term that is used for little children while the one used in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 is a term used for grown-up sons. And so they tell us that when we become born again, we are just little children in God's family. And at that point, we don't experience the leading of the Spirit. But as we grow and as we mature, we then begin to experience the leading of the Spirit, and then that is when we are sons. But you see, the totality of the revelation that we have in the New Testament is that the same set of people that John chapter 1 and verse 12 calls the children of God, so to speak, is the same people that John was talking about in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Remember that verse of scripture where he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed or lavished upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." It's the same term. It's the same term. You know, during the week, I had a discussion with some friends of mine, my colleagues in the office, and I was saying that which translation can be more spiritual than the KJV, you know? And I said, for example, this translation, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." It's so spiritual. Hallelujah. And I asked, this is just a digression, permit me. And I asked that if there was a pidgin English translation of the Bible, what would 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 sound like? And I said, well, it would be something like this. I'm sorry for those who don't understand pidgin English. It's a nice language, right? It would sound like this. "See-o, see-o, see-o, make una come see-o. The kind love where our papa get for us, e boku, e plenty." Anyway, let's just move on. Hallelujah. You see, but the same set of people that John described as sons of God in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 was the same people that he was describing in John chapter 1 and verse 12, and is the same set of people that Paul was describing as sons of God in Romans chapter 8. There is no difference between those people called the children of God in John chapter 1 and verse 12 of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 and the people that Paul was describing in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 wasn't describing a special set of believers. It was talking about all believers. In fact, to make a distinction would be that we are then saying that it's not all believers who have received the spirit of adoption. After all, the text that we read in Romans chapter 8 not only talks about the sons being led, but it talks about us receiving the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." The same thing that Galatians chapter 4 talks about. Paul uses the term and the language of sonship in Romans chapter 8 and Galatians chapter 4 to emphasize and demonstrate that all of God's children, whether male or female, we all are partakers of the inheritance in the house of God. Back in Bible times, it was mainly only the male children that received inheritance in the family. And so you would see it in certain passages of scripture, especially those that relate to inheritance and receiving the full rights as members of the family. Scripture says we are sons. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, "And because you are sons, God has sent for the spirit of sonship into your hearts, whereby you cry, Abba, Father." Every child of God is led by the Spirit of God. In fact, the leading is a confirmation of our sonship. Leading is the privilege of every child of God. If you notice our text, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The leading of the Spirit is not contingent on any human circumstance. There are no conditions attached. It is simply the work of the Holy Spirit. The text does not say, those who follow the leading of the Spirit are the sons of God. It just says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. I know many of us only think of the leading of the Spirit when we are faced with decisions, crucial decisions, or even when we are in a crisis situation. And in fact, at least from my experience, I noticed that many people only start talking about the leading of the Spirit or the guidance from God when they are about to take some critical decisions, like deciding who to marry, what job to take, or whether to move out of the country or not. In fact, many people don't consider that. Sorry, I take that back. Many people just consider the economy and make their moves. But when it comes to marriage, many people want to know, and they want to be guided by the Spirit of God. But you see, let me say something. Romans 8 and verse 14 teaches us that the leading of the Spirit is a continuous thing. Is not reserved for only crisis situations. The leading of the Spirit is a constant work of the Holy Spirit. See, it should not surprise us that the leading of the Spirit is an experienced reality for believers in Christ Jesus, because we are in a close, intimate relationship with God, and God has always been in the business and practice of leading and guiding his people. God led the Israelites in Isaiah 63 verses 11 to 14 that captures the experience of the Israelites. Scripture says, then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the waters before them to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble? As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people, speaking of God, so didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Isaiah 63 verses 11 to 14. Again, talking about the same experience, Psalm 106 and verse 9. Scripture says, and he rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. It has always been God's character to lead his people. David prayed some prayers in his Psalms. David, the man after God's heart. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. It says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. David prayed for guidance, for God's guidance and leading. Psalm 43 and verse 3 says, oh, send thou thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. David prayed those prayers because he understood God's personality and he understood God's character. Hear what he says in Psalm 25 verses 8 and 9. It says, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. David understood that is God's character. Luke 4 and verse 1 says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." The life of Jesus on earth was also characterized by the leading of the Spirit. And several verses in the book of Acts illustrate this leading ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the believers. In Acts chapter 8, we find the Holy Spirit leading Philip to a specific chariot, and there Philip found the Ethiopian Enoch, who was open to the gospel message. In Acts chapter 8, you go to Acts chapter 10 and you find again the leading ministry of the Spirit in the life of Peter. The Holy Spirit led Peter, instructed him to accompany the men who had come down from Caesarea. Peter obeyed, went to the house of Cornelius, the Roman centurion, where he ministered to the entire household. Later in the book of Acts chapter 11, when Paul was recounting the experience to the folks in Jerusalem, he said to them in verse 12, Acts 11 and verse 12, "The Holy Spirit told me to go with them and not to worry that they were Gentiles." The Holy Spirit told him to go. In Acts chapter 13, we find a group of prophets and teachers in a church at Antioch. They were fasting and ministering to the Lord. And then in verse 2, scripture says, "And the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Paul for the work which I have called them to." Later on in the book of Acts and chapter 16, we find Paul doing the work that the Holy Spirit had called him to. And as he did it, he made an attempt to go into Bithynia to preach the gospel. But the Holy Spirit again spoke and told him not to go. And over and over, even till now, in the lives of believers, we see examples of this experienced reality. And the ministry of the Spirit, this ministry of the Spirit, is such an assuring aspect of his work in our lives. Some years back in the clinic where I work and practice, I walked into the emergency room to check on a patient who had been rushed in. He had come in very weak, and the attending physician had ordered some tests and had even started some treatment. The working diagnosis before I got in was that the man possibly had an overwhelming tropical infection, malaria or something. His test results showed that, and his clinical presentation apparently supported that. However, I clearly had the leading of the Spirit to ask the man a different set of questions that would have led us to a different diagnosis. I obeyed the prompting of the Spirit and asked the man about dark stools. And he answered yes. This led us to ask more questions. And then we discovered that this man had a bleeding ulcer. And in fact, the weakness that the man came in with was really from the blood loss that he had suffered. An experience of the leading of the Holy Spirit outside of the church, outside of a gathered community of the saints. But nonetheless, an experience of the reality of the leading of the Spirit. And I've had several experiences of this leading of the Holy Spirit. And I'll say again and again and again that this experience of divine guidance by the Spirit of God is a reality for every single believer in Christ Jesus. Many of us relate with the Lord like he's hiding his face from us. We behave as though the Holy Spirit is hiding from us, and that the Lord is veiling himself, keeping his thoughts from us. We must recognize that in fact, God is more willing more interested in leading and guiding us as our loving Father, perhaps, than even we are interested in following His leading. This experience is one that is true for every single believer. Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'll stop here today, and then next week we will then look at how does the Holy Spirit lead us and how can we follow the leading of the Spirit. Mighty God, we thank you for this time, and I bless you for this short time of looking at your word. It is my prayer that this truth will be burned deep in our hearts, that conviction will arise, and that, Father, we will look forward to enjoy this experience of being led by you. And Lord, as we embrace this truth, I thank you, O God, for the great experiences that we will richly enjoy, because your word is truth and you have given your Spirit as a guide for us all. We bless you, Father. Hallelujah.